We specialize in music most people think. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you check out our Facebook page, Instagram, and our website. Let us show what lies within.
Yo, this is John from Noise Dosage Media, and this episode is brought to you by Begrudgingly Benny. Interested in putting something horrific and grotesque on your next piece of merch? Benny is tucked away in the fiery depths of COVID quarantine, blasting the filthiest of old school death metal and drawing hideous creatures that he is waiting for you to adopt. Go over to Instagram and follow at Begrudgingly Benny and contact him if you would like some really weird original art for your band or label. Super professional, highly recommended.
Okay, what's up? We are live. And I want to touch on the poster on the back. Tribulation, man.
Oh, yeah. The Tribulation. I was like, which one? There's a lot of posters to touch on.
Yeah, so I noticed that in your videos. I'm like, I wonder how you got into them. Because I saw them at a concert that I do not remember which one I went to.
That was just, I mean, they were, you know, they're very much in my, like, favorite wheelhouse of black metal that kind of, like, sometimes that they step out of black metal a little bit mm-hmm. and kind of can just do some rock as well. Yeah, I got to see them. It was weird. I don't know why they were in the venue they were in. I guess it was this small tour. It's always weird when a band comes over from Europe and they play in a room that, like, has a cap of, like, 200 people. But right. I saw them in this, like, 200 capacity venue in Toronto, the Garrison, which is a great venue, and I was just like, this is so sick, you know. Normally yeah, they, almost every metal band you have to see in these like massive venues, so it was cool right. getting to see like especially a European band come over and play like a nice kind of cozy venue, have really, you know, right there, and they're still doing, you know, they're still coming out in full makeup and the whole nines for us, so you know.
I think the coolest part about them is like they have those rock elements that make them sound not just like a black metal band.
Yeah.
Like they're more of like, in my opinion, okay, I could say their like structure is kind of like poppy in my
opinion. Yeah. I mean, I listen to so much metal that like every day, you know, it's just like constant. So when you can kind of get a little bit of that in there and kind of go for the, you know, in our constant quest for heavy and extreme, we can forget to make records listenable sometimes.
Right.
And I mean, I love me an unlistenable record, but it's nice to break it up with someone that can kind of, you know, understand like, huh, you know, maybe if we just do this, some more people listen to it and everybody will enjoy it. And, you know, we'll get to not play 200 person venues.
Right. Now, do you enjoy larger venues or smaller venues?
I mean, I got to growing up in, I grew up in a major city, right? Toronto is a big city. So a lot of bands would come here and, you know, you could get that smaller venue. I feel like if you grew up in a smaller town, a lot of times you just have that big venue, or if you're in a smaller venue, it's like a garbage band playing. So right. I got to see like a lot of really great bands in those kind of smaller venues. Punk was really big in Toronto when I was growing up. There was like this triple venue. It was this, the building was called the Big Bop, and they had the Cathedral, the Reverb, and Holy Joe's. And it was actually in all ages. The first two floors were all ages as well. So it was this great tower to Mecca that you got to go to. So I got used to seeing like bands just kind of right in my face. And yeah, I half the time, like, you know, it's fun to go see some, you know, Dragon Force or whatever, or Mon Amarth, or these kind of, you know, bands, but you see the venue and you're like, that's normally a club.
Yeah.
A club with like $20 beers. And you're like, oh man, come on.
Yeah, no, that's true, man. The beer prices, it really ruins, in my opinion, that that's a big portion of metal shows, right. man.
Yeah. And I can't be telling people to sneak booze in there. That's a crime. I have to be a good example.
Exactly. You can't sneak it in. So my first question is, you know, how is being a comedian made your appearance on Banger TV, like Overkill Reviews, Lockhorns, a bit like smoother or easier on camera? Cause that's a big thing that you have to, you know, get over when it comes to being a YouTube channel.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely made it easier because at some point I just, you know, I'm used to performing in front of people and I want to get a laugh. So you know, it's, I think it's kind of made it the my unique kind of wheelhouse is being able to do that. It was, you know, at first there's a couple people behind the camera, you know, there's a cameraman, there's a producer. And so for me, it was just like, well, this is just a small show. I've certainly done open mics with two audience members. I can do this. So I'm playing to them, not the mm-hmm. actual camera. So it made it a really smooth transition. What was harder for me is with COVID, I've having been filming them at home, and then I'm
right, right.
No one, and I'm way worse.
Yeah. Well, you just, it's either you talk too much or you don't talk at all, and you're just like to the point that I like. And I just started doing reviews, so I felt like I talked too much.
Yeah, well, I mean, that could be the thing, right? You get so into your own head, and then people are like, wait, I've lost the train of thought, you know? That definitely comedy is the thing you learn from doing comedy for a while is presenting ideas in bite-sized chunks to audiences, because when it's, you know, 10 p.m. and they've got a couple Coors Lights in them and you're in Hicksville, Ontario there, bud, their attention spans are not the longest for right. any big ideas, so you need to figure out a way to make what you want to say quick and digestible for people without feeling like you're just going out there and being like, oh man, great to be in Huntsville. Last week I was in Beamsville. Those motherfuckers are the idiots. And then they're like, yeah, fuck Beamsville.
So Jay Hoff Films, he's from Toronto, from my understand.
I think, I think so. Yeah.
Chris, I saw him drinking Molson. What is your opinion on Molson being from Toronto?
My opinion on beer has always been that I go into a place and I go, can I have your plainest beer, please?
Yeah.
Yeah, my attitude with beer is I want to drink like eight of them, so I don't want them to taste like anything, because I don't want like the taste eight. I don't want to taste something. I don't need 2 liters of anything in one sitting.
Right.
So a bland flavor. I just want it to get me drunk. That's my, you know, I'll have, if you're having a nice beer, I want like one nice beer. You know, you get like a nice sour or some weird stout or something. Yeah. Sit there and enjoy it. Have one nice beer.
You only
beer,
have three of them and then you're shot.
Bring me out the garbage water with some booze in it.
There you go. So you said that the comedy came first, correct?
Yeah.
So how did you originally like get like involved with Banger TV?
Banger TV was like a total happy lucky accident. Our ex-producer, you know, has gone on to greener pastures. We all loved her, Lisa Lettersayer. She did a bit of stand-up as well and just saw me and was like, do you actually like metal? You like metal for real, right? And I was like, yeah, it's not, this is not helping my comedy career. And she was like, oh, you should come on the channel sometime as a guest. And then I went on and, you know, they were just used to having like journalists and musicians and stuff on, and you put a comedian on and I'm just fucking we were doing Lockhorns, and so I'm joking around with the chat and stuff, you know, it's just a normal show for me, and it just clicked, and they brought me back for another one, and that clicked, and then another one, and then they're just like, hey, just come on full time.
There you go.
Comedians are generally, we're like cockroaches. You let us in once and you won't leave. Yeah, it's flooded, the place is a mess
now. Are you guys working on another documentary?
We're always working on documentaries. The problem becomes that getting people to pay for metal documentaries is hard. Because metal things are always like a surprise when they do.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Like the, you know, Metal a Headbanger's Journey was not supposed to be some big international, like kind of the synonymous film for metalheads. It was just a thing that, you know, two guys made because they wanted to make it, and then boom. And then they did all this stuff and it went great. And like Until the Light Takes Us, a bunch of people saw that because they got all fascinated with black metal. But I'm sure when that guy was trying to shop that around, being like, hey, it's a bunch of Norwegians and some of them murdered each other and some of them are white supremacists. Everybody was like,
oh, no,
get the hell out of my office.
Right.
So, you know, we've, we're currently doing one about Triumph, which is a Canadian classic rock band. So that's the rock space we've got going on. But we're always trying to find someone to give us money to do some more metal stuff. But it's hard, man.
Yeah, metal is a tough industry, man.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It's just like no one has told these people that metalheads love to spend money. There's all this data, you know, Bandcamp, like the Spotify, I'll say, like, metal fans are the most loyal fans. They're the most willing to put down their money, and someone just hasn't gotten that memo to the head of Blank Pictures to be like, oh, okay, yeah, metalheads like to spend money on stuff, cool. Yeah,
I think the most money that metal brings is freaking long sleeves.
Oh, like, yeah, man, the long sleeves. Oh boy, I'm so happy. You know, as a Canadian, it's really nice to just
in vinyl
form. Yeah, I got stacks of that over there.
So could you name like a few things that you've learned so far with being a part of this channel?
Yeah, I mean, the thing, there's been a couple things. The one thing I learned that I found is really helpful is to try and figure out ways to, when you're reviewing, to tell people things, like, avoid technical jargon. Like, I think sometimes people like want to say like, oh, these musical words, because they want to either convey a sense of expertise, or they think the people reading are going to want to know that this riff was in this time signature and this picking style, blah, blah, blah. The average person reading your review knows less about music than you do. So if you know that, they might not. If you barely know that, they probably don't know it at all. Right.
Right. That's
so true. Figure out a way to say that in a way that people like to hear. So I don't say tremolo picking when I'm talking about black metal. I say we need guitars, and you know,
that's a good point. Yeah.
It conveys the same idea. And if you know what tremolo picking is, you know what I'm saying. And hey, maybe you'll leave an angry comment on my video that says like, it's tremolo picking, you moron. And I'm like, hey, cause thanks for the comment. You got baited, sucker.
Yeah. Well, you know? That's so, a good point. Cause like I did an interview with Chris from Deicide, and it was all guitar talk. Like,
right.
And one of my friends was like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Like,
yeah, so there's certainly a market for that, but you gotta decide, am I a tech talk review? Am I a tech talk channel, or am I a kind of layman talking to the average metal fan type of channel? You know, you gotta kind of pick what your area of expertise is. If you are like, you know, a tech god, lean into it hard. Just make sure you kind of know, like, my thing is I'm funny, so I don't need to bring a bunch of tech knowledge to the table, because people aren't watching me for tech knowledge. People are watching me for jokes. So jokes are what I bring. And you know, if I can choose between a piece of tech or a joke, I should pick the joke. But you know, like I said, if someone's, you know, there's a market for most things. It's just figure out how to be in that market to kind of like figure out in comedy, it's finding your voice, right? It's
right.
What makes you a unique comedian? Cause you know, especially for guys like me, there are 100 white guys with beards going up and being like, I live in a basement apartment. So you gotta figure out how to live in a basement apartment, live your truth in a basement apartment.
Right. That's true. I've been slowly learning that you got to kind of figure out which way, take it, like technical or layman's. So that's good advice. What else? Like, I mean, what about like production?
Production, people care about sound. Make sure things sound good. Video can be kind of sketchy.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, people will, you can have a gorgeous looking series, but we've had things filmed beautifully, and then there was like a slight audio hiccup, and
I noticed like that
bit of thing, and the whole comments is like, the boom will be in a shot and two people will mention it. There'll be like a minor hum, and it's just the whole comments. It's just, there's a hum. What's with that hum? Do something about that hum.
Yeah. Well, I was watching one, I don't know what the hell interview it was, but the audio was bad. It wasn't horrible, but it didn't sound like there was a microphone above. I think it was like a on-camera microphone. And yeah, it was just a freaking list of shit. I'm like, what do you want? Like, perfect? Like, it's a lot of effort to, you know,
spend the money. If you got a couple bucks to spend and you're deciding where to go, audio.
Right.
People that don't even know what audio equipment is will be like, why does this sound like shit?
Right.
You know, hey, look, you know, we don't want to sound like a 6 feet under record. We know what happens.
hit it. Yeah, that's true.
When shit sounds weird, man, you got to disable the comments on YouTube.
Now, what is your opinions on interviews like this? Because, like, I have the equipment. I got a 4K camera, but is it worth the effort to do all of that?
No, I think it's just because, I mean, for stuff like this, a lot of the times when I'm streaming, people are doing something else.
Yeah, you're like background noise, basically.
You're talking. They want to hear you talk, but they don't necessarily. They might want to look over, you know, make sure it's presentable. But yeah, most people. I mean, really, what's that interesting about what's going on? Like, I intentionally put all this crap on the walls around me so you at least have something to look at when I'm streaming, right? But really, not. You can look at us. You can check in on us once every 2 minutes, and it's fine. Right. You know. I mean, even with TV shows, like I was just working out watching a TV show. You know, I'm not 100% watching that TV show. I can hear it the whole time. You know, these days people could be on the tablet. Hell, they could be driving to work, you know? Audio.
That audio, noted. Because I'm going to start, like, I don't know if what word I should use, when COVID is over, I want to start doing in-person stuff.
Yeah.
Like, but now I noticed that Sam did a lot of the in-person stuff. Do you have any intentions on doing that in the future?
Lisa had an opinion, and at first I was like, which was that reviewers and interviewers should be separate. And okay. I never really thought about like why. And then I started meeting bands that I had reviewed not necessarily the greatest, and I was like, holy hell, she's 100% right. I've done a couple interviews. I love doing interviews. I just like talking to people. But yeah, it's like if I do an interview and then 3 months later the record comes out, and then I'm like, uh-oh, this record sucks. I just talked to that guy. You know, I like to make fun of people, but I'm a nice guy. And
I feel that.
To have the distance between me and that's why I'm always making fun of the big bands. Because A, I don't want to take food out of anyone's mouth. And B, I don't have to worry as much about running in the, you know, I don't have to run. I don't worry about Disturbed being like, what the hell, bro?
Dude, you freaking kidding me? Yeah, that's one thing I've always been like, because I did like 6 reviews. Like I said, I'm just getting into video, and I'm like, do I want to release a review where I sound like a total dick? Like that, and it's like, I might not like the music, but do I want to release everything that makes me sound like I love everything I listen to?
Exactly, right? Because you want to be a reviewer. You don't want to be a cheerleader. If every record's a 5 out of 5,
yeah.
It doesn't, you know, it the 5 out of 5s never matter. You gotta, and also the longer you review, the more like dead you become inside, where you're like, cool, another death metal record. Yep, yeah, you guys are. Yep, this sounds like death metal.
Yep.
You know, that's what happened with me with the Skeletal Remains. I'm like, this is really good, guys, but I've listened to 40 death metal albums this year, and I've listened to yours 10 times, and in a month, I won't be able to pick it out of those 40 records. There's nothing on this that's like screaming out at me, you know?
Right. Yeah. That was the newest album is really good.
I mean, it's really good. Nothing wrong with it, but.
Yeah. No, I see.
Like, you know, especially with the whole Tomb Mold, Blood Incantation, you know, all those guys coming up with all this weird kind of ways to kind of carve out a niche.
Yeah, what is your take on that type of, you know, that era, like Tomb Mold, Undeath, you know, Vomit Witch, like...
I just want music to sound unique. I want something unique and cool there. And I think they've managed to figure out a way to make like a cool scene where, you know, maybe a little, a couple of the bands in the scene sound similar, but it's still a shallow enough pond that it's, you know, okay. Oh no. Now, you know, you sound like those other four records I could listen to. So there's five records now. Yeah. Right. That's a small enough number that that five stands out, but you know, with, you're kind of a classic death metal band there. Yeah. 40 records that came out this year. And those guys are still, you know, it's not like they're not, and it's not like they're doing something that's going to turn off a regular death metal fan either, which is what makes it so cool. They've found a way to just turn a couple screws, you know, they've just changed.
Yeah, you got to push the envelope just a touch.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of, you know, carve out something, you know?
I feel like, I mean, death metal bands. Okay. I love death metal, but there's always this, you know, just a structure. Like, it's just got to be straightforward distortion, freaking. I love it, but sometimes it's like every band kind of molds that same.
I mean, in the reason we have Norwegian black metal is because in the 90s they were bored already. And they were like, this is all the same. You guys are just.
Yeah, they're guys, like, fuck
10
this
bands
shit.
Did this and now it all sounds the same. We're starting a scene where everything sounds like shit.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't take long. And then, you know, we get the waves where someone figures out something to do. You know, there was the first wave of death metal, and then suddenly, you know, they're an Ace Ventura Pet Detective, and then it took a couple of years, and then it was like, all right, cool, switch over. What was that, 94? Cannibal Corpse formed in like 88, so you know, 6 years, and then you had at the Gates, we're like, okay, well, what about this sound? And it didn't hit initially, and there was a couple of years break, and then suddenly everybody's like, whoa, that's cool, yeah, put some melodic in there, and then suddenly it's like, you just look at a logo and you're like, oh, mellow death band, new mellow death band. Yeah. you just see the shape of the letters and you're like, yeah, new mellow death band, get out of here.
Yeah,
you know, these two mold guys have figured out something. Yeah. You know, they're kind of the head of the pyramid there. And those guys have figured out something cool, and you know, it's becoming a scene, and I'm sure in 5 years I'll be complaining about it, being like, enough with the tomb.
Yeah, what do they call it? Like,
just figure out that way to kind of keep this ball rolling. It's, you know, there's plenty of little nooks and crannies.
Right. Okay, the last thing I got, well, noted, you know, it don't mean shit, but so quote unquote from like the website or something, it said that three bands that changed my life were Metallica, Sleep, and Dark Throne.
Yeah.
And you know, what stood out the most about those bands, and which albums did you listen to first?
For me, the Metallica one's the funny answer, because the Metallica one, I was like 12 or something, and the first Metallica album I owned was Symphony in Metallica, because I was like a 12-year-old, and I was like, oh, this is nice, and I was like a gifted kid, I was in like a school, so I was like, oh, it's nice, this rock music with this symphony. I was a little nerd, and so that was the first Metallica record I got, and then I got more Metallica records, and it was fun. The fondest memory I have of Metallica as a kid is like, I got that, and then I got the Black. I really liked the Black album, and then it took me a little while to figure out like Master of Puppets and Ride the Lightning, and because it was just, you know, it was a little harder and I needed to get a little older. But no matter what point in my life I put on Load, I was like, this sounds bad. Yeah. And I was like, I think this sucks. And then I got older and I was like, I think this still sucks. And now I'm like, that was a smart kid.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I can always shame myself for buying Saint Anger on CD.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
I was like, I remember going to like some, I don't know, it was like some freaking CD shop in the mall.
Yeah,
and that was the only one in stock. And I was like, I don't know, 15. And I was like, this looks good.
Hey, you gotta start somewhere, right?
But
with Sleep, it was obviously, you know, Dope Smoker. That was they're like the kind of band that really just one of the funniest bands that like is very casual about their humor is one of the reasons they really appealed to me. Is I just really liked the not taking it seriously while simultaneously taking it very seriously.
Right. Right.
Like they're just the weirdest guys, you know? And I love the story of basically them being like, here's an hour long record. And then it's like, we can't release that. And they're like, all right, we'll go give you a new record. And then all they did really was like chop it up into pieces and was like, okay, here's what you asked for.
Here's a new one.
Like, yeah. You guys are assholes. And they're like, okay, well, we're just not going to make music anymore. And they're like, what? And they're like, fuck you. You know, there's something, you know, when the band before that is Metallica, you value a little bit someone going, I'm doing what I want. And if not, I'm getting the hell out of here. I don't care about money. You know, it's good to balance those two sides of the pendulum. Yeah. And then Dark Throne, you know, they're just, it's like such a great band that's managed to stay so fresh throughout their lives, where it's like, you know, you hear Fenris talk and he's always like, yeah, no, the band isn't going to sound like the band used to because I don't want to make music like that anymore because I don't listen to it anymore. So I'm making music for me. And
yeah.
You know, it's cool to see a band constantly reinvent themselves, you know, figure out ways to just, again, that kind of difference, you know, but without being like, you could, all Dark Throne records sound like Dark Throne records, but you know, now they're half a crust band and you're like, sweet. Yeah. You guys are doing great with that.
Yeah, they're switching genres and stuff.
Figured out a great way to do that. And you know, it's just a way to, I feel like if every artist sort of combined those three bands, it would be really good.
Right. And that's what I was going to ask you. If you could name a band that kind of did all that at once, who would it be?
Did all that at once. You know what? Like Maiden kind of did all that at once, right? They like, they carved out a unique sound. They never really betrayed themselves. They still progressed as a band. Same with Judas Priest. Both of them really like, you know, they've had their ups and downs, but they've been minor and they've managed to, you know, be a massive financial success. Just as long as you're still a band we can love, you know, I'm not mad at Metallica for making money. I'm mad at Metallica for how they made money.
Yeah. Lars.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so combining those three things, because there are certainly bands that need a little bit more Metallica in their head, because sometimes I email guys being like, hey, look, I've got a deadline coming up for a video next week. Your first track I've heard on your album sounds great. Can I get a promo copy? And they're like, yeah, sure, I'll get that to you, man. And 2 days later, you're like, bro, just email me a promo copy. Yeah, yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, yeah, sorry, I'll get on that for you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to move some units for you. Help me out. This isn't me being like, oh, I've got to critically review your album. It's being like, hey, your record sounds sweet. I'd like to include it in this thing where I just say these records. Oh, here's five records that are sweet. Yeah, I'll get back to you, man.
Yeah, I get back to you.
get a little of that Lars Ulrich in you. That little, you know. Oh, sweet. Yeah. How many views does the channel have? Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, now I'm paying attention.
Yeah, I've only gotten that like three times. Like when they won't do the podcast without, like, the first question they ask is like, how many views do you have? How many subscribers do you have? I'm like, I don't even want to talk to you anymore if that's what I care about. You know, yeah. Like, do some research, man.
I get it, but you know, I'm glad. Hey, you know, as long as they're if they're asking me that, but they're responding promptly, I'm okay with all of it.
There you go. So you talk about doom a lot, and you know, that's one genre I was into it for a little bit, and then I grew out of it. You know, I was really into like Black Doom. I don't know if you, like them. Is there any bands like that you would recommend to me?
Well, what I always tell for people that got kind of added doom, though, is just listen to Death Doom. It's the best parts of both. Death Doom music is you know, it's there's a lot of different stuff in it. But you know, hey, I'm the you know, president of the fan club. Do you listen to Hooded Menace?
I do not.
You gotta listen to Hooded Menace.
Check that out.
Hooded Menace is my favorite band. I'm wearing Hooded. Wait. I'm wearing Hooded Menace sweatpants.
See, now that is, you know, some good merch ideas, man. Everybody has shorts now. Like, Gotta get yourself some pants.
Sweatpants. The reason I was like, hey, is it all right if maybe I'm 5 minutes late for the podcast is I had just come from an appointment and I just needed to crank out a workout real quick. I was really jamming in my
No, that's all right. I've had a few where I'm like, shit, man. Give me a few. I gotta have some coffee.
Blast of it, just okay. All right, we're good. Yeah, but Hooded Menace, man, they're great. It's the best guitar tone I think I've ever heard. It's slow, but it's like death metal-y as well. So you know,
I haven't heard of them. I watched that interview, but not interview. I watched that the chart video. Yeah. It was very cool. I saw My Dying Bride and stuff.
Yeah, that's a little more on the like gothic-y side. This is like none of that's in there really. The newest album had a bit more like kind of, you know, ethereal doomy parts, but if you listen to Never Cross the Dead, it's just a slow death metal record, basically. It's so good. It's so good. I my favorite band. Easy.
All right. I got it on my playlist now.
It's like the Hooded Menace is like the they can do whatever they want. They've released albums on Relapse, Season of Mist. Like, they just get on whatever record label they want. The main guy behind it, is like a guest musician and all kinds of stuff. I think he just maybe isn't high on the Lars Ulrich meter. I feel like maybe he's just happy. Like, he makes good music. He probably does well enough, and then is like, yeah, that's it. That's perfect for me. And, you know, I can respect that, you know, as long as I can buy records and sweatpants, that's it.
Yeah.
Music, give me some stuff to buy and you're hustling just hard enough for me.
I went to a Metallica show and I think we paid $50 for a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, holy shit, man. You know, you hit it big then.
Yeah, I know. Right.
But all right.
Pants for less than that. Pants.
Yeah, you get pants, a sweatshirt. Last thing is, being in the scene for a while, is there any like musicians you've ever met along the way you think I should talk to?
If you haven't talked to the Dylan from Bellwitch,
that would be cool.
He's a great guy. It's funny, you know, hour long one track slow sad music. Guy's a goofball. He's just the sweetest man.
It just makes the interview so much. I don't know.
Easier. He's, you know, yeah. him and Jesse. They're oh god. I sent him a message the other day. This son of a bitch. I send Dylan a message the other day, and we're talking. And he knows my wife as well. We're all friends. He's a great guy. And he was like, oh, we were just talking for a bit. And then he was like, oh, actually, I was thinking about you and Jackie the other day. I read a book that reminded me about you. And I was like, oh, what was the book? He was like, yeah, it was a book about anti-gravity. I couldn't put it down. And I was like, oh, what was the book about? And then like 2 seconds later, I was like, oh, fuck, god damn it.
That's funny.
You son of a bitch. That's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah, I'll have to get a hold of them.
So that would be definitely a recommendation. Athanar for Midnight's a really great guy too.
I don't know if they're, are they easy to get a hold of?
Yeah. I mean, he dialed up the Lars Ulrich a little bit. We were talking,
yeah, you know,
full circle. You know, he was pretty casual before, and then he was like, you know what? People seem to like my band. I should probably hustle a little bit harder. So he told me he was like, you know, this is the year I was going out and getting things done. He got Midnight signed to Metal Blade, a record, a couple things, you know.
Yeah.
So he's probably a little easier to get a hold of now. For sure.
Yeah, that's one thing. Are you a musician yourself?
I play drums a little bit, but you know, nothing I would call myself a musician. Comedy. I'm a comedian.
Full time,
you know. It's the there's an old saying that mostly in comedy we say it because it's kind of an insult to musicians. But it's an insult to both of us, which is what comedians do, right? It's every musician thinks he's a comedian and every comedian wishes he was a musician is what we say about the two professions, yeah.
All right. Yeah, okay. This is good. Okay, give me a joke to end this. Like, give me something funny that you could just say about the metal community.
God, I don't. That's not how. That's the worst thing you. For future reference, that is the single worst thing a comedian hates me.
No one is say something funny.
God damn it. This isn't how it works. I'm not standing in front of 50 people. Y'all haven't had 3 beers and the lights are on. People do not like laughing when the lights are on.
Yeah. No, I
you need darkness. You need darkness for comedy. And David Letterman said this, the audience needs to be cold.
Yeah.
Like physically.
Physically?
Like physically cold. Yeah. Keep the room cold. Because cold people will still laugh. Hot people do not want to laugh. They don't want to do shit.
Now, how do you like prepare?
How do I prepare?
Yeah, that's, like getting stage
comedy. That's the other crazy thing is the reason this doesn't work is because the only way comedy works is in front of people. So the way you prepare is you write a joke at home and you go, damn, that's funny. And then you go out to an open mic, which is just like show up, go up kind of thing. And then as you get better, you can kind of don't have to go to the quite bottom of the barrel open mics. You can do like a regular show because you can trust yourself a little bit. But you go up and you say, hey, this is the thing I wrote. And you tell it to people. And the first time you tell it to people, frequently you go, whoop, never mind. That's not funny, it turns out. Once I've said it to these humans, they do not think it's funny at all. And and then you just keep doing that. You just keep doing that at people until either you've crafted a fantastic joke or you're drunk in the shower crying.
Yep.
True story.
Are there any methods to like? I have there's got to be some type of methods behind doing comedy. Like,
oh yeah, I mean, there's method to it. You learn how to write a joke. You know, you learn kind of the concept. But I mean, the concept of writing a joke is pretty much the same as writing a lot of other stuff, where you basically, you know, like writing an. You remember the hamburger essay you'd write in school in your lower grade levels. You introduce an idea. All right, I'll walk through a joke I've been telling recently.
I've been waiting for it. Yeah.
All right. So I currently have a joke that hockey is the worst sport, and so you say something like hockey's the worst sport. You put out a thesis, right? You put out a thesis you have to defend to people. You give them this idea. This is the premise. You give them this thesis, and then you need to provide, you need to defend your thesis, right? You go, hockey's the worst sport. And then, you know, it's Canada, so people get pissy, right? And you go, I can prove that it's the worst sport. And the reason I think it's the worst sport is because it's the only sport that requires another sport in the middle to keep the fans watching. Every hockey game has to have a fight in the middle or the audience is bored. Hockey fans, you try and talk to a hockey fan about taking fighting out of hockey, and it'll ruin the game. It's an essential part of the game. It's the only sport that needs another sport to keep the sport interesting. I've never been watching a boxing match. See, that's defense number one. Defense number two comes in. I've never been watching a boxing match and been like, God, this boxing match sucks. Can we get some motherfuckers ice skating in here? Defense number two, even arguably the most boring, and I'm coming to three, even arguably the most boring sport in the world, golf.
Oh, everybody okay.
Golf, right? Most boring sport. Even golf, they ain't making those motherfuckers race the little carts in between holes. They're trusting their sport to keep their audience entertained. Hockey's the worst sport. Boom. Your conclusion.
That was actually really good, man.
That's how, you know, that's it. You can just write jokes like that. And then there's all these kind of different ways. There's one-liners where there's misdirection. There's all these things you learn. But, you know, a lot of jokes are just going to function like.
I think the funniest thing about that joke is they don't have a microphone. You do.
Yes. So very important. That is a very important part of comedy.
And the thing is, like, you're in Canada. So, like,
that's
like the last thing they want to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a thing you've got to slowly bring out.
All right. Well, you made me laugh, dude.
Well, hey, that's the perpetual goal.
Right on. I appreciate your time, and I'm glad this finally came through.
Yeah.
It only took a week.
Great time.
Email and stuff. Maybe we'll do this in the future. I'll get some more questions and stuff.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Have me back anytime.
Right on. All right, I'll talk to you later. I'll link you when I put this on Spotify and stuff.
Sweet. Thanks, man.